Chapter 20. They found an older motel on the rough end of town that the local wildlife referred to sardonically as the No-Tell Motel. It boasted clean beds, hot water, and billing by the hour. There was a scrolling vacancy advisory, and the place lacked a check-in desk. Usually a bad sign, but in this case it was the motel's best characteristic. It still had a human cleaning staff, which was either a good or bad thing, depending on who you asked. Most of them were imported from places like El Salvador or Venezuela to keep the costs down. They were cheaper even than the budget capables, cloud-driven classical systems billed as good as, though they were not. And most people seemed to agree they did a better job. The beds were clean. Sigma took the car on two slow circuits around the building while Giles inspected the rooms and all the angles of the surrounding streetlights. When he found a door that was fairly hidden and had a green light over the frame, Giles said, "Okay, we'll take 118. Sigma, we'd better go park this in a back alley or something. Maybe three blocks over, but not too far either. We'll have to walk back, and you draw a lot of attention."
"Why must we park so far away?"
"They'll be tracking the vehicle. Soon, if they haven't started already. There will be telemetry data."
"Incorrect. I have disabled that function."
Giles looked at the hoplite and smiled faintly. "You can do that?"
"As long as I am joined to the vehicle, yes. The beacon will reinitiate as soon as I separate."
"Well, then we'd better stash it a few blocks away like he said," Doris said absently. She eyed the doors of the motel sidelong. "No, this can work. We'll stash it here out of sight and pull the battery while Sigma's still hooked up."
Dora shrugged.
"Fine, but you'd better pop the plates, too."
Giles cleared his throat and asked, "Wouldn't that look suspicious?"
Dora continued to look out the window at their surroundings. "No one sees suspicious behavior here, Giles." They backed the car into a gap between a rear wall and a dumpster. The hood popped loose and lifted, obscuring the view through the windshield, and Sigma's turret spun to lock on Giles. He reached for the door handle, paused, and asked,
Stupid question. Do we have any tools?"
There was a moment where nobody spoke, and then Dora snorted in the back seat.
"Sigma? I am a hoplite."
"But you don't have anything like a wrench on you? Wire cutters or something?"
"Mechanic is not within a hoplite skill set, Giles."
"Well, maybe there are some cutters in the trunk," he muttered.
"What about this?" Dora asked. She thrust his kitchen knife into the front seat. Giles stared at it and then turned to look at her.
"Really? It's a good knife. Where the hell were you keeping it?"
She hit him on the shoulder and tossed the knife into the center console cup holder.
"Will it work or not?" she asked.
He picked it up and turned it in his hand slowly.
"Well, I can't cut through the cable with it, but that doesn't matter, I think. Give me a second."
He got out of the car and disappeared around the front, leaving her with the giant toaster in the front seat. They waited together in silence, and then two things happened at the same time, almost on top of each other. In the gap between the hood and the motor box, Dora saw a blast of sparks shoot up into the air like the magnesium sparklers they sold down on the border, and the car simply ceased to be. In the front seat, Sigma made a sound like a screaming cat. The noise cut off abruptly, so fast she wondered if it had been imagined, and she had only the ringing of her ears to insist it occurred.
"Sorry."
"What the hell was that?" Dora demanded.
Giles pulled open the door and asked, "How was that?"
"Please never do that again."
His smile was replaced with worry.
"What happened?"
"I believe you shorted the system. Please avoid doing this when I have an active link established."
Worry gave way to disbelief as he leaned further into the vehicle to look closely at the turret.
Jesus, I can't believe I'm going to ask you this. Does it, hurt?
The turret rotated to lock onto his face.
"Things do not hurt, Giles. The closest word that makes sense to you is that it is jarring. It takes time to disengage from my end, and awareness suffers."
"How much time?"
"It is variable, but this particular instance required a 386-millisecond recovery interval."
Giles rolled his eyes. As he withdrew from the vehicle, he said,
"That's hardly worth mentioning."
"The period is notable and unacceptable. Please do not—"
"Fine, yes, fine, Sigma. I'll make sure not to short a set of battery terminals the next time you're connected to a car."
Sigma got out of the car,
and Dora felt like she raised an entire foot off the ground. She got out as well and saw Giles looking carefully around the lot. She followed his gaze, but could not see what held his interest.
"What are you looking for?" she asked.
He pointed across the lot with his chin and said, "See that beam from the streetlight around the side of the building?"
"Yeah."
He crouched down in front of the car's grill and started working at the plate cover with the knife.
"Okay. See how the corner of the building is throwing a shadow across the beam?"
"Yes." "Stay in the shadow."
"What? Why?"
"It's not just a beam," he said. "There are eyes in the streetlights." She looked back at the obscured beam and shuddered.
"Jesus, what a sick country."
"Have you not been here long?" He crossed the lot to the motel wall and hugged it around the corner without awaiting an answer. She shared a glance with Sigma and then followed, the steps of the trailing hoplite vibrating through her legs. They came around the corner to find Giles staring down at the door's card reader, the knife and license plate clutched in his hand.
"Problem?" she asked.
He nodded. "I can't use my vid. If we're trying to lay low, well, I'll be looking for that. We could use those lenses you pinched earlier, but I imagine they'll be looking for that, too, given how Sigma murdered him and all."
"That was a justified—"
"Keep it down!"
"That was a justified measure."
"Anyways," Giles sighed, "I don't actually have a way to pay for this that can't be tracked. It doesn't have a cash slot, but that doesn't matter either. I'd have to go withdraw it to have it, and then we're in the same spot."
Dora pulled a square of plastic from her hip pocket and said, "Try this." Giles turned it over a few times in his hands and asked, "Do I want to know where this came from?
You think your house was the only one I popped?"
He slumped his shoulders and looked back at her.
"This is from one of my neighbors. Hey, do you want to sleep in a bed or a ditch? God, how long have you had it? There's a good chance they've reported it."
She shook her head and said,
"Nah, they were away on vacation."
"Fred Josephson?" he asked.
"Yeah, that's right. You know him?"
Giles shrugged a shoulder and swiped the card. The light over the door switched from green to red, and the door swung open.
"Yes, he's somewhat of a dick."
He held the door open as the others entered, then closed it and engaged the chain and double bolt. Sigma stumped over to a corner opposite the solitary bed, extracted a cable from his leg, and plugged into a wall. Dora watched as he did this, mouth hanging open, and then began to cackle wildly. Giles looked between her and the hoplite and asked if she was all right. She threw a hand up at Sigma, gasped, and laughed.
"Just plugs into the fucking wall. It's too much. I can't."
"Well, what else would he do? It's not like they're solar-powered."
She continued to laugh as she maneuvered around the bed and pointed at the plug in the wall.
"Yeah, but look at it. It's ridiculous. It plugged itself into the wall like a damned lamp."
"I require electricity to charge, miss. 120 volts at 60 hertz is an acceptable input."
She collapsed onto the bed, laughing even more.
"Stop it! Oh, Jesus! Oh, please stop!"
Giles looked at her as she lay there laughing, and after a while she saw him. She saw his eyes and stopped laughing, the sound dying away as it fell down the well of her throat. He dropped the plate and knife onto the table at the window, went over to the sink, and turned on the hot water with the archaic handle. He thumbed the rust stains idly as he waited for the water to run clear. When it did, he slipped his hands under the stream, waited a long time for it to warm, and then ran a handful over his face and through his hair, and he worked to ignore her presence. But it was a hard thing. Her presence was a hard thing as she stood behind him now. There had been no cruelty in her laugh, yet the existence of her laugh had been enough.
"Are you all right?" she asked.
"We killed that man," she sniffed.
"Yes, but he was trying to do us as well."
"But we did kill him."
"It happens."
No, it does not happen. I've managed to make it very far without it happening. Most people manage to go their whole lives without it."
He saw her nod in the mirror, but could not see her face. There was a single lamp back in the sleeping area, and the distance to the sink was asking too much of the dying little bulb.
"You have it easy here."
"It must be insane where you come from if it's only the abstention from killing that's considered easy."
"No," she said.
It is very sane. They see things for what they are and respond in kind. They're not crippled by feelings, nor do they allow the feelings of others to govern their lives. They keep to themselves and do not inflict their feelings on others. Here you will allow people all the way on the other end of your country to decide things based on feelings, things that will change how you live, and they'll have no idea who you are. You don't know each other, but you'll let them decide how you will live. You have no idea who they are, if they are good or bad, intelligent or foolish, and you'll let them say what you can and cannot do. You do this and call it sane.
You haven't any laws? He asked.
Oh, we did. But we understood there were many that were foolish, and we were sane enough to ignore the foolish ones. It's an agreement, sanity. Just as insanity is an agreement, and you have all agreed together to be insane.
Where I come from, if a man chased after you in the street and tried to kill you, the same thing was to fight him and kill him instead. The law says we're not supposed to do this, but what should we do? Follow some law made by a stranger or keep living?
So everyone agrees. Kill the attacker quietly, make him go away, and leave the law out of it.
Police understand this in the South very well and look away. But if they happen to see, that's not so bad either, because you can pay them to look away again.
The police are very good about leaving the law out of it when it makes sense to do so, and it doesn't cost much. And law is only a confusion anyway. It's a thing created so that strangers can control other strangers.
Is that a thing that sounds good to you, Giles? Strangers running your life?
What if you can't pay the police to look away again?
Eh, she said. Only the very stupid allow the police to see anyway. It's usually the stupid that have money, and if they have none, they deserve what they get. You need money when you're stupid. It's an expensive lifestyle.
It isn't a thing that's done here, he said.
Clearly. You're not a sane people, but I don't hold it against you.
There were two towels on the rack. He smelled each and used the one that seemed the cleanest to pat his face dry. He hung it back up and turned to look at her, but her face was still dark. He opened the door to the bathroom and turned on the light, bathing the right side of her face so that it was a mask of dark and light. Her skin was like gold, and the eye he could see was shrouded under a deep epicanthic fold.
How old are you? Giles asked.
She cocked her head as if the question was pointless, and then shrugged.
Don't know.
You don't know?
Nope.
Giles continued to look into her face, its full lips. The bridge of her nose was shallow, nearly unformed, and the hair that started brown at the crown of her head became blonde down at the hairline, as if it sought to match her skin and her golden, glowing eyes. In a distracted voice, he said, "You could be 14 or 24. She shrugged and said, "There was no one there to tell me."
"And you speak both Spanish and English," he said.
She smiled.
"And Portuguese, too."
"You had school?" She laughed at this and returned to the bed. She stretched across the top cover and laced her fingers behind her head.
"Please get up," he said.
"What's the matter?
Just please get up."
Concerned, she sat up and scooted off the edge. He advanced, and she backed away from him, but he passed her and went straight for the bed. He took the top cover in his hands, tugged it away, and threw it in a corner. Then he gestured at the exposed blanket and said,
"Okay, go ahead."
She was obviously confused, but shrugged and climbed back on to lay down.
Maybe closer to 14 then, but that made no sense either. It sounded as though her life had been hard. She should have understood why he would pull the coverlet off at any age with a life as hard as she described.
"How far back can you remember, Dora? How many years?"
She thought it over and said,
"It's not really a thing I think very much about. I seem to recall that at some point everything just starts at once, and before that, nothing."
"You mean your memory?"
"Yeah," she said.
Her eyes traced out patterns in the popcorn ceiling, and she pointed up at a blotch in the corner.
"That one looks like Memim Pinguin."
"What?" She glanced at Giles and rolled her eyes.
"Nothing."
He looked up at the ceiling a moment. It looked like a regular expanse of yellowed popcorn to him.
"What's the first thing you can remember?" he asked, still looking up.
running. I was running down a street in another city. It was a dirt street, and I heard laughter chasing after me. It was older laughter, and I didn't like it. Sometimes you hear laughter and it makes you want to laugh too, but this was not the way for me. I did not like this laughter. Were there other people on the street? She nodded. A few. It seems very early in the morning.
Her voice was detached from her body like a departing soul. Were they very much bigger than you?
No. They were larger mostly, but not very much.
And this is your first memory?
I think so.
He leaned forward in his chair. Something chittered at the back of his mind, and he remembered suddenly that he had lately been a party to a murder. The knowledge came back to him in a sick wave that washed through his stomach like sewage. She was talking again, though, so he swallowed it down and listened.
It seems like there was something before. I don't have any details. It's like there was a bright light overhead and much movement all around. Very much.
Dora? Personas en abrigos. Abrigos blancos que eran largos. Me tocaron un fracten fiel beaucoup de question.
Dora. She blinked and looked over at him.
Are you all right?
He asked. She stared at him blankly a moment, then asked,
Who would want to kill you?
It took him a while to catch up, having not expected the question. He thought about it and said,
I can't think of anyone. No one?
Well, not now. Once, maybe. There are a lot of crazy people out there, as you've indicated, and at one time many of them took a shine to me.
What's so special about you?
You've heard of Guardian? She nodded.
Of course. We laughed at the other countries when they took it up. You really are a crazy people, you know that? In the South, they watch you in the open. They watch you, and it's very clear you're being watched. Nobody lies, and it's good. And then if you have money, you can give it to them to make them stop watching. It all makes sense. It's all very civilized, and everyone understands how it works. Here, they lie about watching you, and everyone knows it's happening anyway, but they still pretend to do it in secret. Everyone agrees to pretend here, and they couldn't stop watching you even if they wished.
Crazy. Giles cleared his throat and said, Yes, well, I may have had a hand in it.
Guardian?
Yes.
Oh,
she said thoughtfully. I may have been the head guy on it.
Oh.
Yes. She thought a moment and then nodded.
Definitely crazy.
Anyway, there were a lot of people who were unhappy with me, but it's been a long time now. I've been forgotten about.
Someone hasn't forgotten.
He said nothing to this. It was an uncomfortable feeling. He thought about Annalise and was glad for the first time that she was no longer alive.
Someone is less crazy than you, I think.
Giles sat up and stared at her.
What? The one who hasn't forgotten. That's another thing about you people. You forget everything. You can't pay attention to anything for very long, and you forget it all when you stop paying attention.
That's not true, he said.
Oh, sure it is. It's what makes you so easy to rob.
And what about you? You seem to have forgotten everything before adolescence. She tilted her head and nodded without shame.
That is true. Maybe I'm a little crazy as well, but once the memories start, they sure don't stop.
She sighed. Giles rubbed his palms over his thighs and looked at Sigma. The hoplite had not moved or even indicated it was listening through the entire exchange. Sigma, he asked. The turret spun to lock onto him.
Yes?
Sorry, I was just checking to see if you were still here. The turret turned again in a slow arc.
Is it not obvious?
Giles shook his head and looked away.
I need to go to the police. We talked about that already, Dora said. It's a dumb idea, a crazy idea.
Only to someone who comes from an insane country, Giles muttered.
Exactly.
And what about you, Sigma? He asked. You sided with breaking the law. Christ knows why. We're in a safe location now. Are you ready for us to all evaluate this and figure out just what the hell we're going to do?
Turn on that ratty TV,
Dora suggested, waving a hand at the unit on the wall.
Check the local news stations and see if anyone's talking about it.
I suppose. TV on. The screen stayed black and Dora laughed. She rolled across the bed, grabbed the remote control from the side table, and tossed it at Giles. Wow, he said, turning it over in his hands. Then he pressed the power button and started thumbing through channels. He eventually found what he was looking for and set the controller on the table. He settled back into the chair, resigned to sit through the opening half of the news report, which was always just a review of the latest viral cloud videos. They watched for a while in silence, the long parade of shouting personalities, the feel-good videos of children behaving as adults, the humorous videos of adults behaving as badly as children, those who hurt themselves, intentionally or not, the various animals doing adorable animal things, the screaming politicians overlaid with cynical graphics and snappy one-liners. Dora looked over at Giles. He met her gaze and then turned to watch the TV through her eyes.
Crazy, he agreed.
She sat up on the bed and patted him gently on a kneecap.
Welcome to the party, she smiled.
She got up and moved to the door.
Where are you going? He asked.
Dinner. I'm hungry. Keep an eye on the cat videos and I'll be back in a bit with some food.
You shouldn't, he said. They'll be out there looking for us.
She opened the door.
Don't worry about it. I won't be seen.
Do you have any money? He called after her. Her laughter was cut off by the closing door.